Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros in Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
We'll get back to the Brewers talk in just a moment, but right now it's time for our friend, time for our teammate. It is time for Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. How you doing, buddy?
We've been better. But the thing is, Jason, we got another game. It's not over. Like, last night didn't end the series. The Brewers have an opportunity to still win the series on Saturday. So my message today has, everybody can be sad, you can dump your bucket, you can be frustrated, but there's still another game. Just don't give up on this team quite yet.
Don't give up. I would just say this. From a selfish perspective, Paula and the girls, we don't have any sports this weekend, so they're doing like this little getaway, the three of them. So purely from a selfish perspective, I'm really happy there's a game 5 on Saturday night, because I'm going to be all by myself, me, the dogs, and the cats, so at least we all have something to watch now.
Well, there you go.
I'm a bucket half full guy.
Jason. Oh, yeah. Jason, I was reading Tom Silverstein's
article. You were reading?
Very good. I was. I just learned the other day, and you'd be amazed what you can do if you can read.
Yeah, you should try channel3000.com.
Oh, I read that all the time, buddy.
I'm sure you do. Okay. Go ahead.
You're my guy. So I went down halfway through, because I'm kind of a speed reader. And
learned the other day, and he's already graduated to speed reading.
God, he's amazing,
Jason,
isn't he?
Offensive ranks, first and third down conversion, 53, which is one of the most important stats in football. Seventh in red zone, fifth lowest interception rate, seventh in passing yards per play, ninth in points scored, third in passer rating. Defense, fourth in third down conversion, 14th red zone, fourth in yards allowed, second in rushing yards allowed per game, tied for 11th in points, and 14th opponent's passer rating. Why hasn't this translated to a better record? Because those are really, really good.
Well, since you read Tom's piece, it hasn't translated because of bad coaching, which is the premise of his story. And he did a great job. I mean, Spoon obviously is the dean of our beats at this point now that others have retired or whatever it is they do. I would argue that stuff is all awesome, but when the money's been on the table, they have not come through. And that's what the league is also about, right? Like that third down stat, we asked a couple questions this week, because their defense has been good on third down, their offense has been awesome on third down, and you're right, that's usually an indicator of success. And yet, you know, this is what happens when you don't make critical plays in critical moments. And you know, I talk a lot about this boisterous portion of the fan base that doesn't want Jordan Love criticized ever. Look, his numbers are phenomenal. He's been, statistically, he's been great. But he's had three moments, which again are not 100% his fault, where they have not come through. The interception late in Cleveland, he doesn't throw that, they win. The fumble at the end of the half in Dallas, if he doesn't fumble that, I don't think they have nearly the same life, the Cowboys, as they end up with because of that takeover, that turnover. And then obviously not getting everybody lined up, not having the urgency, at the end of the game, at the end of overtime. Now, are there other people to blame for all three of those things? Yeah. LaFleur could have called a running play in Cleveland. LaFleur didn't have to call an aggressive approach at the end of the half in Dallas. And LaFleur could have had them better prepared to make sure they hustle to the line and have ample time to go try to win the game in Dallas at the end of overtime. But when you are, if you're going to be elite, and look, even the elite guys mess up in critical moments, right? Last Monday night, we saw Patrick Mahomes do it against Jacksonville. Like, he threw a terrible interception. Like, they're all human. But, you know, for Jordan, and Jordan was saying this on Wednesday, and I keep saying this, and I know Gabe hates it when I say again when I haven't said it the first time, but I say again because I say it so much on all of our shows. Like, I love the fact that he owns stuff because, you know, your guy, God bless him, great player, but he was not one to sit up there. But that was back when the media auditorium, that they had a chair. He sat at a desk instead of standing at a podium. He was not one to say, yeah, that's 100% on me. I got to be better there. And we know Aaron Rodgers wasn't great at that. And Jordan is. And so my point is that, yeah, I learned a really interesting lesson my first year as a primary beat writer in 1999. I did a story about the six plays that changed the season and how they could have easily been a 12-4 team instead of an 8-8 team. And a more experienced sports writer, the late, great Tom Mulhern, said to me, Jason, welcome to the NFL. That's exactly what the NFL is. It's just a handful of plays that decide those games. And it was kind of a, oh, yeah, you're right about that. I'm an idiot. And I've tried to be better since. But that's the reality. And right now they're sitting at 2-1-1 instead of 4-0. Because just a couple of plays. And that's why it's so critical, even if you're great statistically, to be great in those critical moments.
Jason, is McManus going to kick on Sunday?
Well, it depends who you talk to. Major concern, I'm playing Sunday. So those are two different ends of the spectrum there. Matt LaFleur saying that, and then when McManus was asked about it being a major concern, he said, well, LaFleur's got a different thesaurus/encyclopedia than I do for injuries. Now, what's interesting is he did have this same injury back in 2022 when he was with the Broncos. Same leg, whole deal. And it cropped up on Wednesday, just like it did this time. And he did not practice. He didn't kick the rest of the week. And then he kicked on Sunday, and I went back and looked at that game. He hit a 53-yarder, a 41-yarder, a 50-yarder, and then they trotted him out there at the end of the game. It was a 10-9 game that they lost to the Ravens. But they trotted him out there to try a 63-yarder to win it as time expired. So clearly they felt good enough about his quad to have him try a kick where you have to put a lot of oomph into it. So I tend to, like Rich Bisaccia, I tend to lean on the fact that this guy knows his body, has been through a similar situation before, and he believes he'll be able to kick. But you still have to take the right precautions, so they're bringing in Greg Joseph, third person Greg Joseph. Greg Joseph's just got to worry about Greg Joseph, Greg Joseph told me, which was one of my favorite quotes I've had in a while. And another guy whose name I don't pronounce very well, so I'm just going to say he's the other guy, for workouts today. So they're backed up and they have some options. Now, I also talked to Daniel Whelan yesterday, and if this were to be a Zach Tom situation where, you know, he says, I can go, goes out there, they probably, I would think, will have Whelan, even though it's a different type of kickoff, so there's a challenge there. I would think they'll have Whelan kickoff, potentially, just to keep him, you know, keep his workload on that quad limited. But Whelan's like, look, I've kicked before. He's kicked in the NFL. He's kicked in college. So you know, he would be the backup plan, which of course led me to ask Daniel Whelan, because I'm a professional journalist, can you kick and hold at the same time?
Oh, that would be impressive.
That would be impressive. That's that's literally exactly what I said, Gabe. And it's like, didn't Jalen Hurts try to catch his own Hail Mary the other day? It's kind of like that. And he chuckled. He wouldn't tell me who. And so I had to do some digging because, again, professional journalist, getting the answers that everyone wants.
Correct. Yep.
So I was trying to find out who would hold. And I got a few good guys in the locker room who gave me some tips, and it might be, this isn't for sure, but one of the options is Ben Sims.
Really?
And I thought immediately of Mark Chmura and thought, yeah, who the hell trusts a tight end to hold?
So
here's what's funny, and again, you've heard this a million times, Chu, the more you can do.
Yes.
Well, Ben Sims is their fourth tight end, and he went out to practice a couple years ago early, and he was out there with the specialists, and he went over to that group and was like, hey, I want to kind of try this. And so he did some holding with Whelan, and then he did some long snapping with Matt Orzech, which I know was your specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never long snapped before. But he's also an option for that. So he's kind of like that, you know, and believe me, and he said this, like, it is, in case of emergency, break glass time. Like, I don't think anyone, including me, wants to be out there holding or snapping. But that would be kind of the alternative if they were to go down the road of playing McManus and then having a Zach Tom-like situation where he can't continue.
What do you mean you got fired for being the holder, Chu?
I tried. I was a kiss ass. So, you know, they had auditions, and I tried for that. Now, I thought I really had a legitimate chance at emergency quarterback. I did.
How did
they
went
to Biebs?
They went to Biebs, you know? I would have been great with the, what do they call it in Philly? Though.
The tush push?
The tush push.
Yeah, the tush push.
Yeah, which they ran four consecutive times yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Tried returner, that didn't work. You should do
returner.
It
in high school. Oh, I could see that. Sure, yeah, exactly.
Jason, by the way, go ahead.
Real quick, because they're playing the Bengals, and you were in this. I mean, maybe you were injured for this game, but the game in '90. One of my favorite things I've ever done in my career. I still have the story from the State Journal hanging in my office at Lambeau, framed. Is that on the 10-year anniversary of the Kittrick-Taylor touchdown and the game that launched the Favre legend. I went into the media auditorium and old Aaron Popke got the NFL Films highlights and we projected it up onto a screen and Brett and I went through everything that happened because that was before I covered the team. And so that was in 2002. And what I didn't know, I knew the legend. What I didn't know was that apparently Magic was the holder too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Favre has to go out there and hold and they have a close zoomed in shot of this. Remember the touchdown ties it 23-23. They still have to kick the extra point. So Favre's got to hold and he takes his finger off the ball on the kick.
And it somehow stays
standing
perfect
up in the grass.
Yeah, it somehow stays perfectly like it's supposed to.
Like he's like Lucy from Peanuts.
I know.
Except
it's
he didn't
so
take
great
the ball away.
Gabe, you know what the play was?
For the Kittrick-Taylor?
Yep.
I do not.
Two jet all go. Jason, what is Rashid Walker's deal?
He won't be kicking for them. He's got a quadricep too, and he went from limited in practice to not practicing yesterday. So, look, this is people don't want to hear me complain about my job. I've got a great job. I'm lucky to talk to you guys three times a week, presented by Exterior Pros and by Lakeland Supply. They're in business
nice
to make your business better. Go to LakelandSupply.com for a free packaging and supply chain assessment. I think I got that.
You nailed it.
From
you nailed
Elric.
It. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm crushing it. That's what I'm here for. No notes. But I hate the fact that LaFleur talks before practice instead of after. A, it means that I don't get to go because it's during the show. And B, this is the kind of stuff, like, this is important. Like, your left tackle didn't practice yesterday. And, oh, by the way, you're playing Trey Hendrickson. And your right tackle is working his way back from this injury that he has that he played one play in a game. I mean, so the guy, I'm sure the guys will ask about Rashid, and then we'll get the injury report after 3 o'clock today. But, like, this is – this has the potential, especially given the weirdo history of Packers-Bengals, to be like Joe Flacco comes in and throws for 300 yards and the Packers' offense is discombobulated – because they're missing both their tackles. Like, and by the way, Anthony Belton's not playing either. So in theory, they could be without three top tackles. They could be without all three of them, and they'll have a hodgepodge of an offensive line. Now, that doesn't mean Sheeta won't be able to go. I'm just saying the fact that he was listed as limited, because, again, we don't know. The danger of the Wednesday injury report is that when a guy's listed as limited, it could be because he injured himself. He started out planning to be a full participant and then got hurt in practice, and that's what limited him. That's what happened with McManus, obviously. That's what happened with Tucker Kraft a couple weeks ago. So that'll be a big question today, is what's up with Sheed.
Jason, real quick, Pat and the Hat retire?
Yes. Well, sort of. This has been in the works for a while. I think I even mentioned it on the air just because Pat's been so great to us, and I just love the guy. So they had hired Dr. Michael Ryan to be his successor over a year ago. He stayed on another year so he could kind of help him with the transition and understand the lay of the land. And now they've reached the point where, Pat's 70. So Pat's staying on as like the kind of like when Bloke stopped being the primary, that's Mark Lavotte, for those who don't know the nicknames. Sorry, I hate him. I should be better than that. So he stayed on. He like let Chris Gizzi take over, and he stayed on as an assistant. And so I think that's kind of what they're doing for next year. And then I guess, I don't know if Pat will still stick around or what the plan is. But, yeah, there'll be a new doctor in town.
Okay.
Jason, always appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing what you and Tausch have to say coming up at 9 on Wildy and Tausch.
Me too. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Milwaukee, here are your plans for tomorrow, at least in the morning. Saturday, October 11th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., you can join Mantality as they're hosting a health fair at 2323 North Mayfair Road, Suite 104 in Wauwatosa. It's all about your health, our community, and giving back. You'll get a free cognitive test. It's the first FDA-approved brain health test of its kind. It's done in just 10 minutes, and lab testing is available with a donation. Plus, Mantality will have exciting giveaways, including game tickets, and best of all, this event supports Ignite the Spirit, helping Milwaukee's firefighters and their families. Mantality clinics are backed by science and delivered with care, giving men a discreet and reliable way to unlock peak performance. Don't miss it. Mantality's Health Fair, Saturday, October 11th, from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. at 2323 North Mayfair Road in Wauwatosa. Come for your health and help support those who serve our city.